Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experiment. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLM? Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Time to get real and welcome everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and as usual, thank you so much. I really appreciate you listening more. I really appreciate the emails that you send to info@rebeccanorrington.com and the questions. Oh my God, such great questions from my audience. But for my new listeners that I get every week, I just want to just a brief, everybody else close your ears. I know. Every week, Rebecca, with the same background, but new listeners. Now I know how Beyonce feels when she sings the same song over and over and over and over and over, because there's some people that want to hear it. I mean, if I go to a Beyonce concert, I want to hear Halo. Come on now. Back to the show. So I started this radio show. It's evolved just like life evolves. And my big thing, my number one intention in every moment of my day is to experience more happiness. And what does that mean in a regular day? Well, that means to, in every moment I'm aware, in every moment I'm conscious of the decisions I'm making, of what I'm saying, of my perspective. I'm conscious of the energy that I'm emitting. I'm conscious of whether or not I'm resisting. I'm conscious of whether or not I'm flowing. I'm aware of everything that I do and say. It is exhausting, my dear audience, living consciously, but it is the only way. It is the only way to get to a place that, let me say this, it's never ending. This journey is never ending. But living consciously and being aware in every moment, and I mean in every moment with every word, not just some words, even the ones that when you meet somebody just in the street, oh, hi, how are you? Oh, hi, how are you? Well, are you saying it consciously or are you saying it unconsciously? Are you saying it robotically or not? And that's what I'm talking about, because before you can ever want to experience more of this peace, this internal peace, there has to be a commitment. There has to be a commitment in every moment. And this is what I'm finding, because I teach the importance of happiness classes. I've been teaching for a year and a half, and I've had tons of students, meaning only about 50 or 60, maybe a little bit more than that, that I've seen in the different sessions in the different quarters. And it's always the same thing, wanting to be happier, but not really wanting to do the work or wanting to pay attention to the degree that you need to pay attention to. Let me give you a perfect example. Well, let me ask you this question. Let me give you a perfect example. There is a student in my Importance of Happiness class, and she's actually has enrolled more than one session. Each session varies from summer sessions from 8 weeks to 11 weeks to 14 weeks to anywhere in between, depending on whether it's spring, summer, winter, or fall. And this person, man or woman, has been in the class more than once. And so for the people that have repeated the class, of course, I give them a different type of homework. And one of the ways that you can gauge whether or not you are making a commitment, and I'll get to how you make the commitment in a little bit, but to gauge whether you're making these commitments and whether you are all in, if you will, all in on with your intentions of feeling more at peace and more content, is whether or not your relationships with the quote-unquote people that push your buttons, and you know the people that I'm talking about, the people that are in your life that can either take you up to a degree and just make you crazy and you want to pull your hair out and you want to scream and you just want to slap the crap out of them. You know those people. We all have them, including me. Hold on a second. I have to take a little sip of my ginger tea. Hold on, audience. I love this. I couldn't stand ginger. I really don't like ginger. I never liked ginger. The taste. But when somebody told me that you really need, it's really good for your stomach to have ginger tea, fresh ginger tea, and just boil it and no sugar, no nothing, no honey, just fresh ginger. I've developed a taste to it. I mean, I enjoy my ginger tea. Do I like ginger? The answer is still no, but I do enjoy ginger tea. So I have ginger tea every morning. Oh, back to the show. Where was I? Okay, talking about students. Yes, okay. So this is how you can tell if you've changed or if you are aware. When your relationships start changing, in other words, when you are able to create more peace or you're able to be at peace, have more peace with the people that, quote, push your buttons. Because quite frankly, these people that push buttons are our gifts. Those people, the people that we call, that we label A, B, C, disrespectful, inconsiderate, rude, negative, all these the people that we label all of these labels, which quite frankly, you know that when we label other people, that's we're really describing ourselves, but I digress. So when you notice, in other words, when these people are bothering you or annoying you, you know that there's work for you to do. Anytime, and I've said it 100 times on this show, anytime you have your buttons pushed, that means you have to work on your buttons. Your buttons are your job, your responsibility, not anybody else's. Nobody can push your buttons. So if they can, if anybody can, it's up to you, it's up to me to eliminate the buttons. Find out what that button is, why is it bothering you, and coming back to the mirror and then figuring out how to eliminate the button. Because when you eliminate your buttons, guess what? It's impossible to push them. And that's the only way. It's not avoiding people. It's not avoiding the negative people. It's not resisting them. It's not putting them in a category. What it is total acceptance of who all these people are and for whatever reasons, because, listen, we're all doing the best that we can. Even the people that you think are the most, labels. I can't stand using labels, but for the conversation, even the people that you think are not adding or contributing, okay, to society, even those people, noticing, looking at anyone else and finding fault or finding criticism or finding something wrong with what their existence, okay, and I don't care who it is, and I know what you're thinking, their existence, finding fault or finding a reason to be judgmental for their existence or the reasons why or what they're doing, is just a reflection of you, my dear audience. So when you're able to accept all that happens in this world, because you can accept it, because you know, regardless of whether you understand it, but you know that everything is in order. So there is a commitment and a practice, a daily practice of trusting the plan of the universe, the divine plan. Do you trust or you don't? If you look out and find something, oh, this is happening to me, so something's wrong, universe. I don't like this. Or are you accepting everything that life throws at you? Everything, and I mean everything. So that's a question only you can answer. Let me talk more about this making a commitment. Let me just back up a little bit about happiness and the whole definition. I've said it before, but let me throw it out again. And this is a long intro, I know. Yes, this still is the intro to the show. Darn it. This is the thing about making a commitment. When you make a daily commitment, what you're saying is, I'm willing to feel the uncomfortable, the nerve-wracking, the imbalance. It feels kind of imbalanced of growth. I'm willing and I want to feel that. I'm ready to feel it. I'm ready to accept it. I'm ready to flow through it. And it's a daily commitment. Let me share with you what happened last week, because you know this is a reality spirituality show. Last week, true story, left hand is up in the air. I'm testifying now. If you know me or if you listen to the show, I love football. Professional football. I love it. I love the game. Well, college football, I'll watch the playoffs, but I'm not really watching too much college. But professional football, I love it. And so it's the season. This football is back. And last Sunday was the second week of the season. It's Sunday night. Now, Sunday night is a special time for me because I have football, which I said I love. I have Columbo reruns, which I love too. Oh, my God, I love Columbo. And also there's poker. So there's three channels that I go back and forth because I'm not one to watch commercials. I know I grew up in the Norrington house, and my parents love watching commercials and making comments on whether or not they loved them or they hated them. That was just my life and my childhood. So consequently, I hate commercials now. When I say I hate them, I just don't watch them. I like to just flip. So if there's a commercial, I flip from one channel to the other. So I'm flipping from the Green Bay game to Columbo to poker. I am in heaven. Now, it's about 7, no, it's actually around 8:30 because Columbo doesn't come on till 8, around 8:30. And all of a sudden, my television goes dead. Dead. Now, I've actually had this problems with the receiver in the last few months, and the television has gone dead before, but it hasn't been during football season, and it hasn't been in the middle of, you know, I mean, listen, I'm partying, I'm having a great time. This is my Saturday night. So, I've called before, probably within the last 6 months. So now I'm calling, and so anyway, it goes dead, and usually they walk me through a hard restart, something on the, you know, they walk me through what to do with the receiver, turn this button on, turn this on, unplug this, plug it back in. So they walk me through that, and it's usually just a hard reset or restart, whatever they call it. And it has been no problem. But on this particular night, last Sunday night, there was a huge problem because it couldn't get the television back. And then come to find out that not only could they not get the receiver to work, but I have a roommate who just moved out yesterday, I don't know why I brought that up, but anyway, so I had to knock on his door and say, is your receiver working? This was Sunday night, and then we went through the whole thing, and he had just unplugged his television because he was moving, and he's packing his TV. Back to the story. So come to find out, I had to have somebody come out to the house because they couldn't fix it over the phone. Now you have to schedule an appointment, right? Schedule an appointment. I work a 9-to-5 during the day, and that is just going to be hard to do unless, you know, you take time off. Now you have to juggle that. Plus, you have to take half a day. So initially I said, yeah, come on Saturday, you know, I'll wait a week without television. And then I'm thinking, well, no, I want to watch the football game on Monday. And anyway, the bottom line is I took the day off of work Tuesday morning. Okay, you follow me? Took the day off of work or the morning off to wait for DirecTV to show up. DirecTV showed up between 8 and 12. Actually, it was an early morning, which was great. The technician comes and looks at my receiver, and then he says, let me look at your roommate's room. And it was a simple, like I said, my roommate unplugged all of his plugs because he's taking his TV, he's moving. It was a simple, the main box of the main receiver was in my roommate's room, and he just unplugged something, and that was all it was. Just an unplugged plug. Now, I'm in his room, the roommate's room. I'm there, the technician's there, and my roommate's there too. Now, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, jeez, I would have turned around and said something to the effect of, what an idiot you are. Why didn't you tell me you're unplugging things? You knew I was having problems with it. You know, whatever. I would have said 100 different things. And I would have had a big attitude, and I would have had the energy of being angry or pissed off or annoyed or irritated or all four or five or how many things I labeled. But with all of the practicing, and that's why I'm saying this takes commitment, but with all of the practicing of knowing whatever I put out, I'm going to get back. Whatever energy I put, it's just like a boomerang, people. So if you put out anger, you put out frustration, you're going to get it thrown right back in your face. It's going to come right back to you. Because here we go. Here's the $5 million question. I've asked it before on the show, but if you haven't heard it, the question is, what does the humpback man want more than anything else in the world? What? The question is, what does the humpback man want more than anything else in the world? And usually people answer, well, to get rid of his hump, or to find a woman with a hump, or to stand up straight and the answer to the question of what does the humpback man want more than anything else, and I'm here to tell you, it's so true, is they want you to have a hump too. That humpback man wants you to feel just like he feels. So if I put out any kind of energy or any kind of frustration or any kind of anger or any kind of look at you, what did you do, why did you do this, didn't you know, and did you know that, you know, the TV, you heard me on the phone, you knew, you freaking loser. All of that, if I had felt or said or any of it, all it is because I want him to feel as bad as I did, waiting for 2 days, finding out it was nothing, being charged the service fee, on and on and on and on. In reality, your reaction determines your point of satisfaction in this life. Your foundation, your reaction to anything and everything that happens in your life determines your energy, conscious level of awareness. In other words, if you are reacting within a peaceful manner, when I say peaceful, in other words, reacting in a way that's opposite of drama, you know, there's a way to, listen, peace versus drama. If I would have said one word to my roommate about, oh God, and what did I say and what did I do? I'll tell you exactly what I said. Let me finish that sentence. If I had said one word of frustration to my roommate, it would only be because I want him to feel that frustration. If I'm feeling frustrated, that means I want you to feel the same frustration that I'm feeling. Or I'm feeling annoyed, I want you to be annoyed too. Or, you know, you could see these people that protest over the various things, various causes, whether it's Greenpeace or whether it's global warming or whether it's PETA or animal rights or abortion, whatever the cause is. These people that are so into their cause, they want you to feel that passion. They want you to think that their cause is just as important as they do. See, that's what I'm saying. This wanting other people to feel that what you think is important, including me. See, I think that having a peaceful internal peace and being happy is the most important goal in the world. I think that that's all that there is. I mean, what else is there? What else is there, my dear audience? What else is there more important than being at peace, having a peaceful mind? What else is there? Having health? Huh? So you're healthy, but you don't have an internal peace? What? So you have all this money, but there's no internal peace, huh? No, that's why. But see, let me tell you something. A lot of people don't think that being happy is number one. And that actually confused me for a lot of years. How could you not think being happy was number one? How could you think that a political election is number one? How could you think that anything that you don't have control over is number one? See, this happiness is what I can control. I don't have control over what happens out there. So why am I putting my happiness at risk? Oh, that was good. Thank God I remember thought of that word, risk. So the question still becomes your commitment. How committed are you to practice? And with that practice, I have to say that when the technician told me, okay, there was just a matter of somebody unplugging, and now I look at my roommate, and I crossed my eyes, and I gave a sigh like, but it was in a light and fun way, because that roommate was ready for me to blast him. I'm telling you, I could see his eyes. And all I could do was make a joke out of it and smile and do. It was basically a tee hee, tee hee, tee hee. Audience, I've never done a tee-hee, tee-hee over something like that. But when you practice and when you make a decision and you know that that is going to be either you make a decision on a choice or not, then what do you do? See, it's really, really your choice in every moment. You know, what's really interesting, too, is let me just read some of these answers to my homework. But I love giving homework to my students. It's the best. So let's see. Some of the questions are, on a scale from 1 to 10, how important is happiness in your life? See, that is an important question on a scale from 1 to 10. And I have to say that 99% of the people put down 10. And regardless of whether you write 10 or not, the real proof of whether happiness is important is whether or not you're practicing every day. If you say it's 10, but you're not practicing, if you're not practicing every single day and making conscious decisions and making conscious choices, then maybe your commitment to happiness is a 7 or an 8 or a 6. Remember, I say you don't have to tell the truth to yourself, but you don't have to tell the truth to other people, but you definitely have to tell the truth to yourself. So the other questions are, which are my favorite questions, can other people hurt your feelings? Can other people offend you? Can other people disappoint you? Do you blame other people for how you feel? Do you blame your circumstances for how you feel? And can other people hurt your feelings? The answer is, it's really interesting because I have some students who I've said, you don't have to be honest to everybody else, but you have to be honest to yourself. So instead of answering the questions with a yes or I ask for answers either yes or no, because I'm consciously cornering people, putting them in a corner, painting them in a corner, because either a yes or no question brings clarity. The questions that are probably maybe, I believe, I think, kind of, then it leaves a sense of there's still no clarity. The maybe, kind of, oh yes and no. I love those the answers of, well, that's I could either answer it yes or I could either answer it no. Well, I say that's an impossibility. And I'll give you an example. Well, you know what? I'll give you an example. Because the yes and the no keeps you stuck in this, well, it could be yes, it could be no. And if you have a pure, if you have this huge tub of pure water, glacier water, if you will, fresh from, it just melted from the most purest place in the world, let's say Iceland. And it's just a clean barrel of water. And you drop in a little pinch, a speck, a pinch of dirt or sand, then that water isn't pure anymore. It's not clean anymore. It's got a little pinch of dirt or sand. So the yes or no, it's either yes or it's no, meaning that can other people hurt your feelings? And you answer, sometimes they can. So the answer is yes, people can hurt your feelings. Staying in the sometimes, it's going to keep me stuck in a place. Well, sometimes they can hurt my feelings, and then I need to get to a place where no one can hurt my feelings. I mean, that's me. I want to get to a place where no one can hurt. In other words, no one can hurt my feelings because no one has that power. No one has the ability to have that kind of power over me. No one has power. See, that's a really, really interesting and strong place to come from when you cannot be affected by words or by anybody else's energy. And the only person that can affect you or that can move you or that can influence you is you. That's a powerful place to come from. Now, question. Are there people in your life that are subtracting from your happiness? Are there people in your life that sometimes they just are there to subtract? when they say they're not there to subtract, they're actually there just to give you a clue, just give you a notice. It's just to give you a heads up of where you are, an indication, oh, here's where I am right now. Here's where I am. Here's what I'm feeling. Here's what I'm resisting right now. Here's what I'm perceiving right now. See, it always comes back to you, which is the most empowering, powering place you can be. That means that you control it all. You control how you're, in other words, you control what you're going to do, how you're going to react, whether you're going to accept or whether you're going to resist, whether you're going to make a judgment on it or whether you're going to say, oh, it's just an experience, whether you're going to label it good, whether you're going to label it bad, or whether you're just going to label it, it's an experience. The DirecTV quest, the story is just an experience of letting me know where I am with reacting. This is one of my favorite topics. And let me just stay on this commitment again. Because just because I think that happiness is the most important is the most important aspect of this journey, and meaning again meaning that you're not skipping through flower, you're not skipping through the rose garden every time you throughout life, but what you're doing is you're maintaining your beliefs and your foundation, and you're trusting. You're trusting without question. You're okay with uncertainty. You're at peace with uncertainty. It doesn't matter what happens or what doesn't happen. In fact, what happens and what doesn't happen is not even any of your business. What? Letting go of trying to design or influence or direct or to make something happen other than paying attention and focusing on what I need to focus on to maintain this connection and to maintain this foundation and this connection of peace is the reason why, is the only reason why, and the only purpose of my existence is to grow and to expand. How it looks or what it looks like, it doesn't even matter. How it looks to society, how it looks to other people, how it looks to, quite frankly, how it looks to me. Because I could put a judgment on how things look. The real, for me, it's really staying in that present moment, in that present space of not knowing the future, letting go of the past, and being, and really finding the value and savoring and finding passion and the value even in a moment of washing dishes. Or cleaning out a garage, or what else do I have to do today, or whatever it is. There's no such thing as wasting time. There's no such thing as, quite frankly, time, the whole illusion. There's no such thing as I'm not doing enough. There's no such thing as This is the bottom line here, and then I'm going to wrap it up. Either there is an energy that you are emitting, either there is an energy of satisfaction, or there is an energy of being dissatisfied. Now, that energy of satisfaction doesn't mean that there's not going to be more things to do or more things to accomplish or more things to experience. That word accomplish, but experience, that has nothing to do with it, but just to be open with, I'm done with trying to design. I'm done with the blueprint. I'm done with filling out a blueprint here. I don't need the blueprint. I don't need how is this house going to look. I have no idea how it's going to look. And the reason why I can say that is, for the majority of my life, I wanted more than what I saw or that I experienced. I wanted more than what I had. It was never, ever enough. Never enough. Never satisfied. Not with how I looked, not with what I did, not with how much I did, not with how much what was going on. Never satisfied. And I have to say that that was another huge mastery. And it's getting to a place where doesn't matter what it looks like, doesn't matter how it looks. It's all divinely planned. It's all good. It's all perfect. It's all okay. You walk it or you talk it. Oh, hold on a second. I have a few people in the queue that I just noticed. Okay, hold on a second. Area code 561. You are live on Reality Spirituality. What's your first name?
Hello there. This is Lena from Florida.
Hi, Lena from Florida. What's going on? What's your question?
Well, I just started a full-time job this week, so I'm very, it's like I have all these emotions. I'm excited. I'm happy. I'm nervous. I'm just very anxious today because I've got a lot going on. So I'm just trying to stay, I don't know, I just feel like my mind is racing because I've got so much going on. I have to find a place to live, but I'm not making enough money yet to afford it. Meanwhile, I've been living it out of the car, so I'm just like, I am so anxious. These people are like, I took a job at one level and they've already pushed me up to another level, but I haven't received the pay. And now I feel like, you know, I hope that I'm going to be you know, compensated fairly. So I'm a little concerned about that. So there's a lot of things that I feel insecure about right now. And I feel really overwhelmed. I just took a walk on the beach for an hour and it did seem to help my nerves, but I'm just like so beside myself. I mean, I'm very happy I got a job, but I'm just like, I have all these uncertain, you know, and I have a man that's like, He wants me, but he's living in 2 hours away from me, and he wants a friendship, and then a full-time relationship. I don't know. It's just like there's so much stuff uncertain in the air, and I just don't know how to handle it.
Ooh-wee. Good stuff. Good stuff, Lena. Really good stuff. But let me say this right offhand. If you've listened to the show, so here we go with the seatbelt. Number one, it sounds like you don't practice trusting. Because if you practice trusting, then listen, when the anxiety comes, anxiety is part of life. It really is. And the thoughts of... Can't, you know, there's a lot of things to do, the job, the money, the boyfriend, all of this stuff. That's part of life. But what is happening with you is you're resisting and you're putting your own judgments on it and your beliefs that, quite frankly, is your identity is to worry, your identity is to not trust, your identity is to be anxious, but then you have all of, in other words, there's no really acceptance going on. There's no acceptance of where you are in your life. There's no acceptance of your situation, and there's no responsibility. You're putting all the responsibility on these things. These things are not the reason why you're stressed at all. The boyfriend isn't, the job isn't, the living in the car isn't. None of that is the reason why you're feeling the way you're feeling. None of it. We use that as an excuse to say it's all of these things. But the real reason, the real truth is, it's how much work, how much practice are you putting every day on self? I love the fact that you said you walked on the beach. And see that is practicing, walking on the beach. And then walk on the beach again and walk on the beach again. See, it's about doing. If you don't have anything else to do but walk on the beach, and if it's giving you relief, then walk on the beach all day long.
Mhm.
But don't think that it's these things. It's not. It's what are you practicing? Because if you're practicing, and if you're practicing on a daily basis, it comes always back to you to trust. That I know everything is in order. I know based on my life that everything happens for a good reason, whether I realize it, what it is at this moment or not. I realize all of those things. Even death has a good reason. Even bad health, even living in a car has a good reason. Are you looking for good reasons? Are you changing your perspective? Or are you looking at everything and focusing on what's wrong, as opposed to focusing on what's right? I know I'm being hard on you, and I know I'm being passionate, but I'm telling the truth. See, mm-hmm. It comes back to what your focus. And
right.
when you call it, it's a lot of complaints and focusing on what's wrong. Make a call.
No, I did say I was grateful for finding a full-time job. I mean, I've been working part-time, so this has been a really good opportunity for me, something that has not come along in a very, very, very long time.
Exactly. And see, and that's where I want you to stay. I could even feel, you know what it is? And this is not your fault, sweetie. It's really not your fault. None of it is our fault. Because, you know, what I learned, I had to unlearn. My behavior and all of the stuff that I was doing actually subtracted from my happiness. And what I had to do was unlearn what I learned. And I had to not be who I grew up to, you know, who I was programmed to be, and really start being myself. See, you, underneath all of this, you really learned how to start worrying and not focusing on what's wrong. I grew up in a house where it was always about what's wrong. It was always some kind of criticism, always. So when you recognize that and you notice that what you're doing is focusing on what's wrong as opposed to what's right, then what's my focus? What's my focus? What's my focus? Oh, that's right. I'm focusing on what the lack, as opposed to wow, I'm focusing on lack as opposed to wow, look at all I have. Some people
mm-hmm.
don't have a car to sleep in or to live in. Come on now, right?
Right.
I mean, I work downtown LA. I see people all, and they're happy. And I'm telling you, I meet people that are homeless that are happy. They're smiling.
Mm-hmm.
They give me a smile. We talk. They're yeah. See, it's not about living in a car or not having a job. It's not about that. Can you give me an amen? Or can you give me a Lizzie? And I know that you know this, but you called just so I could remind you.
Right, I know. I'm just great. It's just my mind is going a mile a minute today.
Yeah, and that's okay. And that's okay. And I want you to accept that too, sweetie. I want you to accept that your mind is going a mile a minute, and that's where you are right now, and it's okay. I want you to accept that too. Don't think there's anything wrong with your mind going a mile a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't think there's anything wrong with that. Accept. It's all okay.
Okay, I just wrote those down.
Yeah, and trust. Accept and trust. Mm-hmm. Accept and trust
yeah.
that it's all okay. Seriously. And just say that until you get sick of it, and you never get sick of it. Say it forever. Accept
mm-hmm.
and trust all okay. And it is, including your mind racing. And, in fact, start having fun with it. See, there's a serious energy about you. There's a heavy, serious energy of this is serious. This is heavy. And I want you to lighten up. I want you to lighten up and find some humor. Find something to laugh at. You're too serious,
mm-hmm.
sweetie. Way too serious about this life. It's not. It's not that serious. I don't care what's going on. It's not. Trust me. So
mm-hmm.
being serious about anything subtracts from happiness.
Right. That's probably why they brought this guy to me, because he's not serious about it. He takes life so, like, nonchalantly. And I'm
let me tell you something. See, this guy, thank you for bringing him up. This guy, leave him, listen, let him be himself. He's showing you who he is. He's showing you, see, people show you who they are. And
yeah.
so it's up to us to either accept them or not. You can't change them. This guy is doing exactly what he wants to do. And you want him to do something else. So
I keep telling him to find find somebody where he lives. I'm not into a long distance relationship.
No, you don't tell him anything. See, you don't
mm-hmm.
tell him. Listen, this is another thing. Telling anybody else what to do. No, you can't tell him to find a relationship. You don't answer the phone if you don't want a relationship. You change your number if you don't want a relationship. You make the moves. Don't tell him to do anything. Take responsibility. You make the moves.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I need to take better. I need to take the lead here, because he's not taking control of my life. He's telling me when he's going to see me or what he wants in our relationship, when that's not what I want at all.
There you go. And so if that's not what you want, then why are you in it? And you know what's so cool? I'm telling you right now, if anybody wants to be in a relationship with me, I'm going to do it exactly the way this guy's doing it. I'm like, you're only going to see me this day or maybe that day, and I'm not going to talk to you every day. And if you don't like it, too bad. And that's why I'm alone.
mm-hmm. But he claims he's in love with me. How do you know you're in love with someone if you haven't even really know them?
No. He's not. No. He's not in love. You're not. Yeah. No. That's not love. I don't know what it is. It's not love. Yeah. It's not love. Love is I love you no matter what you do. I love you no matter what you don't do. But whatever. You don't know what love is either, my dear sweetie. I'm telling you right now, you got to start accepting. Once you start accepting, if you don't know how to accept people, you don't know how to love them, period. You can't love and not accept. You can't.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, that's not fair of him to be.
No. Let's not talk about him. Let's talk about you. See, you're doing it again. You're
mm-hmm.
blaming
you're
him. You're blaming the job.
Right.
Yeah,
because that's the same thing he does. He blames me.
We're talking about you.
Mm-hmm.
See, I love it when people talk bad about somebody else. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's you.
Right. Yeah, you're right. I needed to hear this. I'm glad I called you. I really admire people when they tell me straight up, because that's the way I like things. I don't like things sugar-coated.
And you know what? That's why, and I'm getting chills now because I always get chills when I hear the truth. And that's why I hit you the way I hit you, because you are a woman that wants the truth. And that, and you know what? Listen, and I'm telling you, I hit you so hard because I hit hard, and I can feel it. I'm chilling up now. I hit you so hard, and I'm very powerful, and you still want it. See, that's what you focus on, my dear. That's who you really are. You are a woman who wants the truth, and I'm telling you, that is rare. I'm telling you, I'm with students and people in my classes for years. I'm telling you, people run from me. Yeah, so know who you are. Focus and know that you're rare. And you call me anytime.
I'd rather have the truth and be hurt than to be lied to. And no, I am the opposite. And
that's okay. But know that is exactly who you are. So those are your assignments. You focus on, I'm telling you, you're special and you're rare.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank
all
you.
Right, thanks. Bye bye.
What a great call. I had a few people in the queue, and then either they didn't want to speak to me, because listen, people. I ain't no joke, and I'm an acquired taste. You either gonna want it, or you're gonna want to hear it, or you're not gonna want to hear it. Woo wee! Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday at 7 a.m. My website is RebeccaNorrington.com. That's RebeccaNorrington.com. Email me at info@RebeccaNorrington.com. Go to Facebook and like Reality Spirituality's Facebook page. Thank you in advance for liking that Facebook page. Oof, my book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, the first edition is on Amazon. Yes, thank you. And again, my dear audience, I want you to remember who you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving, always changing, always growing. Love is patient and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. Let's connect again next week. It is all about the journey. Thank you for listening. Reality Spirituality. What? Ha ha!
Yeah. It's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLM? Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby. Get down, bring up the spirituality.